Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him upon a pinnacle of the temple, saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And this morning's lesson is the temptation that Jesus faced, and he is in the wilderness, and he sets an example for us all when we face temptations. Right. We notice some things that Jesus done, and he just quoted Scripture every time he faced temptation.
Right.
And it's why we need to know the Bible, and we need to be in the Word of God so we can face the temptation that the devil and the world and other people and our flesh tempts us with.
Right.
And you know, it's just amazing how, or it shouldn't be amazing, but it is a very good study how perfectly Jesus chose each scripture to quote, and we'll get into that in a minute. But first, we notice that as soon as Jesus was baptized, it says, after he was baptized, it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So, the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. It doesn't say that he was led there and there was tempted by the devil, but it says that he was led there to be tempted of the devil. And a lot of times the Spirit leads us into places of testing. And, you know, we remember when Jesus sent the disciples across the sea, and he stayed behind, and they went into the storm in obedience to Jesus. They was obeying God, and they was obeying Jesus Christ, and they was sent right into a storm. And Jesus came walking to them upon the water. But a lot of times in our Christian life, we are in obedience to God and face a trial, a temptation. Maybe it's not a temptation to, as we would think, a sinful temptation, but trials and burdens and things also is times of temptation. But you know, the health and wealth and name it claim it crowd won't tell you that. They'll tell you if you're right with God, and they'll be like Job's friends and tell you if there's something wrong in your life that it's because of sin in your life. But they're wrong. They're not always right. And, you know, it could be because of sin, but it could be because God's testing you. God's purifying you and helping you to be a better Christian. And you just need to stay true to His Word and to make sure that you are being true to His Word and keep it going for Him and get through it. And He'll help you through it. And nothing's more, give you more peace than knowing that even though you're in the storm, that you've obeyed God, and it's not your fault that you're there. It's just obedience to God. And when you know that, then it's just a peace that only He can give you.
Right.
And you'll get through it.
Amen.
But it says, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. So, not only was Jesus obeying the Spirit by going here, but he was in fasting and praying. I mean, if he's fasting, he's praying. He's meditating. He's thinking upon the Father and talking to the Father and communing with the Father and the Spirit. And you think about it, this was probably, I mean, he is 40 days in this, 40 days and 40 nights alone in the wilderness. This is probably the closest to heaven he ever was on this earth. 40 days alone with his Father on this earth before the devil come to tempt him. So, although his physical body was very weak and very hungry, his spiritual life was very strong. And, you know, just because our physical body might be weak at times and sick, doesn't mean our spiritual life has to be weak and sick.
Right.
We can be trusting in the Lord and be closer to the Lord in those times sometimes than we were when we was healthy.
Right.
And not sick. So, but it says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So the first temptation was tempting him to do something in himself for his flesh. His flesh was in need of food, and Jesus was a hunger. It says in the verse right before, Jesus was a hunger. He tempted his flesh and was appealing to his flesh. And that's what the devil appeals to. He can't appeal to our new nature, but he can appeal to our flesh. And our old nature gives in a lot of time. But Jesus didn't, because even though he was human, he was God's Son, and he was perfect. And he couldn't sin because he had God's blood in him. He didn't have human blood. He was born a virgin. And anyway, it says, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And I've often wondered and thought, you know, why would it be a sin if Jesus made stones bread? I mean, he was God. He had the ability. He had the right. It wouldn't have been a sin for God to make stones bread. But it wasn't, you know, I've heard of some people say that it was because the devil would tempt him and said, "If thou be the Son of God." But the devil knew he was the Son of God. Jesus knew he was the Son of God. There wasn't nobody else there to prove it to, so it wasn't because he had proven himself to be the Son of God in the wrong way. Jesus proved himself to be the Son of God in many ways. But I liked what the Courtney said on it. He said he was telling him to act independently of the Father. He should go ahead and satisfy himself by his power. And if you study the life of Jesus and you read the life of Jesus through the Gospels, you know one thing. He always acted in accordance and in concord and in agreement with the Father. He didn't act independently. He didn't do things because that's what he wanted to do. Everything he done because the Father said to do it. And that's what we need to learn. We need to do things because that's what God says to do, not because it's in our own power to do things. And, you know, a lot of people try to do good things in the wrong way. A lot of people will try to do the good things in their own power. And they don't wait upon the Lord, and they don't seek the Lord's help, or they don't seek the Lord's will on it first. And sometimes we get in trouble because we pray for something and not about something. We get our mind on something we want, and we pray for it. We done made up our mind that we're going to get it, but we just pray for it instead of about it, and we ain't willing to listen to God's leadership on it. There's a difference in praying for something and about something. Because when you've already made up your mind that that's what you want, a lot of times you won't hear God when he does say no. And sometimes he'll just let you have it to teach you a lesson. But if you pray about it and you're willing to listen to God when he says, no, I don't want you to have this, or no, it's not the best thing for you, I want you to have something else, then that's in not acting independently of the Father, but that's with the Father and in his will. And that's a hard time, hard thing for us to learn sometimes is praying about something instead of just praying for it. You know, we can get ourselves in more debt or anything when we just pray for something instead of about it. But the scripture that Jesus looked up or quoted to Satan was very interesting when he said that he might, or that he quoted out of Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3. I'm going to read the whole verse. It's talking about the children of Israel when they was in the wilderness, and it says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So the verse he's using is in the context of the children of Israel having to depend upon the Lord. It wasn't just about the bread, it was about depending upon God. So he didn't just quote a scripture that had to do with bread, making stones bread, and you don't eat bread alone, but the words of God, but you depend upon God. And that's really makes us think that, you know, just because you quote a scripture doesn't mean that any scripture works. You got to quote the right one. And Jesus quoted one that addressed both angles of the temptation, the fleshly bread and the spiritual depending upon the Father. And it says, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and sitteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So the devil tempted him to jump off the top of the temple there and say that God would take care of him. And there was twofold temptation in that. It wasn't just tempting God. It was also tempting Jesus to, you know, when the people seen Jesus do that, they would follow him for the wrong reasons. They would follow him for him. It wouldn't be pointing to the Father. It wouldn't be in agreement with the Father. It would be following a superstar, so to speak. And some people followed Jesus for the wrong reasons, but they left him. The people that followed him for the right reasons stayed with him. And they might have scattered for a little bit, but when he rose again, they was with him, and they died for him. So Jesus knew that, and he knew that he could get people to follow him for the wrong reasons, but that would be wrong. He had to do it the way God planned, and he had to follow God's plan. And the devil, he quoted scripture here, but he took it out of context and he took it in the wrong way. And God will protect us when we're doing right, but when we tempt him and we just try him, and we if you jump out of a plane without a parachute, don't expect God's going to work a miracle and save you from it. That's just stupid. You know, that's, God wants us to use common sense, and God wants us to use faith in him, but you don't presumptuously do something and say God's going to take care of it. If you're going to do something stupid that'll destroy your body, God might just allow it to happen. He don't have to protect you when you act foolishly.
Right.
And Jesus said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And it does tempt the Lord when we do things, presumptuously. When we can claim every promise given in the Bible to us, but we can't claim promises that's not given to us. And don't tempt God in doing so. And just use your common sense and know the Word of God and know what God says, and don't be tempted when people try to tell you that you can name something or claim something or have something that God didn't promise you.
Right.
And that's also a verse out of Deuteronomy. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. But anyway, he again says, and again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So the devil tempted him to, or he took him up and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the devil said, I'll give you these now. You know, God had formed a plan where Jesus is going to have the kingdom of the world, but he's going to have to face the cross, he's going to have to do it God's way, he's going to gain all this, but it's going to take suffering, it's going to take his death, it's going to take the persecution of men, it's going to take him spending, you know, thousands of years now up there praying for us, and watching his saints go through troubles and trials and pain and suffering, and, you know, being grieved at heart for us and praying for us and being there for us. But he's going to take all that. But he could have had the kingdoms of this world at this one instance if he would have worshiped Satan. And Satan had the power to give him these, because Satan is the prince and the power of the air now. Satan is the king of this world, the prince of this world. And you know, he has authority here. He don't have God's authority, but he has a lot of authority on this earth, and he rules kingdoms and principalities, and he rules rulers in this world.
Right.
And if you don't believe that, you just look at the decisions that the people make that makes no sense whatsoever. Why on earth would a judge rule that it's all right to kill babies? That makes no sense, other than Satan's in charge of the powers that be. Why on earth would countries and rulers of this world think it's all right for Muslim nations to be on rights groups and things in the UN, but they don't think that the nation of Israel is? It's because Satan's in control of that mess.
Right. Yes.
And yeah, he's got a lot of power here, but he don't have all power, and he ain't got the power that Jesus is going to have when he rules this kingdom. And but he could have worshipped Satan right here. But Satan is deceiving here too. He says, fall down and worship me, like it would have been over right then. He could have worshipped him and then had the power. But Jesus quotes a verse here and says, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You can't worship somebody without being willing to serve that person. You can't worship God and not serve God.
Right.
You can't worship Satan and not serve Satan. You can't worship your flesh and not serve your flesh. You can't worship this world and not serve this world. Whatever you worship, you're going to serve. And if Jesus would have worshipped him to get this kingdoms at this time, he would have had to serve him. And he knew that. Even though Satan wasn't up front and telling him about it. But God did. God's up front. He tells them, thou shalt serve the Lord. Worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So if you're going to worship me, you're going to have to serve me. And Satan don't want people to realize that. He wants to keep them blind to that fact. But, you know, God's always up front. He's always honest. He says what he means, and he'll do what he says. And we can trust him fully. He's not, he don't hide behind things, and he don't twist words around and make them seem deceiving. There's a lot of people do like the devil. They try to twist the word of God around and make them fit certain theologies and certain ideas that they have. But in the end, God's word is right. And if we know God's word and we fit it together right, then we'll believe right. But if we try to make God's word fit certain theology and certain doctrines, then we can be misled, because a man can have all kinds of crazy ideas and notions, and he can make it sound right, but in the end, the Bible is the only truth that we got, the only thing we can stand on, and it's the only thing that we can use to face the temptations that the devil will come up with, or peer pressure, or other people, or, you know, a lot of people might tempt us to do good things in the wrong way, or, you know, just anything. The devil done that a lot. He tried to get people to do seemingly good things, but in the wrong way. And you read throughout the Bible, and I remember a message Brother Allen preached, heard on sermon audio about Josephus, and how Ahab told him to come up to Ramoth Gilead with him, and that used to be a city of refuge, but it wasn't God's will for him to do that. But being a city of refuge, it seemed like a good thing to rescue the city, but it wouldn't have been, because it wasn't in God's will. And if God wants something done, he'll do it in his way, and we need to make sure we're doing it in his way, and not team up with the things of this world and the wrong things to get something good done. But after Jesus quoted the scripture to him and just hit him upside the head with the Bible and the sword a couple times, the devil left. Says the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. And in Luke it says that the devil leaveth him for a season. The devil left for a season. So, you know, when you face temptation and you win that certain battle, just know that he's coming back. Don't think yourself too highly. Don't think that I got him this time and he can't get me, because he'll come back and he'll get you. He'll get you with something stronger. He'll hit you where you're at the weakest. You know, it said first temptation here, he tempted Jesus with hunger, to feed his hunger, because that was his weakest point. He had just fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. And that's what the devil, he'll tempt you at the weakest point. And he knows your every weakness. He knows my every weakness. He knows where I'm most likely to fall. And if we're not where we need to be with God, he'll get us. And never think ourselves too strong to fall, because we're not. David was a man after God's own heart, and he committed adultery and murder and all kinds of awful things. But he got right with God, and he confessed, and he got back up. So if you did fall, if you have fallen, you can get back up. You just confess it to God and be willing to do that.
Yes.
But I'll read the practical points. It says, if the perfect Son of God had to endure testing, how much more do we? And again, testing, sometimes God allows in our life to perfect us, to burn off the dross, to help us to be better Christians. And if he allowed Jesus to be tested, as an example to us, and how much more do we need testing? Testing comes to us in our direst need. Even the satisfaction of a true need is not right if not done the right way. And the Lord's prerogative is to test us, but for us to test Him shows faithlessness. All worldly powers pale in comparison with the power of one's faithfulness to God. When the testing of our faith is complete, if we have endured it faithfully, God's comfort and encouragement will be upon us, never to forsake us. And I didn't mention that, but it says that angels came and ministered unto him in comfort. And you know, when you get through a trial and you know you've done nothing wrong, and you've been tested and you've been tried and you've come through it, that's a blessing. That gives you joy. That gives you a peace with God. And it just helps you know that He loves you that much more. And He's there for you. I'm going to read a story here about D.L. Moody. It says, the story is told about a physician who went to hear D.L. Moody in order to laugh at him. He said he knew Mr. Moody was no scholar, and he was sure that he could find many flaws in his argument. The physician ended up being converted. He explained that he could not get at Mr. Moody since he stood there hiding behind the Bible. He just gave one Bible text after another. They went home to my heart straight as bullets from a rifle, he explained. Mr. Moody's power is in the way he has his Bible at the tip of his tongue. And that's what God uses, not only to protect us from temptation, but he uses that when we witness to other people. It's by the seed of the Word of God, salvation comes. That's all I have to say about the lesson.